Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is the 6th day of November. It's Wednesday, November 6, 2019. And the scripture reading for this week is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through chapter 17, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through chapter 41, verse 16. And the New Testament portion is Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook and LinkedIn. You can follow us on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio, also on Instagram. You can listen to the shows from on Blog Talk. We're on Warn Radio Visions. We're Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk. Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes 1 and 2, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Warn Radio on Acast, show videos on Facebook, Google Play Music, and there's others that we're on. And be sure to go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can listen to all the shows there. Take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They're really important and they apply to our day and age. There's lessons and scripture reading and plans for this day and age that we live in. And this week we feature Faith of Jesus in a World of Evil. We can clearly see the faith of Jesus Christ daily in this world of evil. The days of lawlessness warned about by the Apostle Paul are clearly upon our generation. One day you could be safe, secure, and ministering for Jesus. Then the next day you're facing the evil. But in this evil, we can never leave the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. He promised, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Also, the lessons of that old porch. It is this lesson, the lesson of that old porch, which makes life come into a brighter view, being thankful for what there is and settling for God's purpose. Time and tide, it is said, wait for no man. So too, God's purpose waits and allows us to make our choice. So you can read more of those articles and all of our other articles and listen to the shows on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, up front tonight, we're going to be talking about the United States record and how they affirmed the genocide of Armenians. It's kind of funny that this got done this way. Not funny, ha-ha. Because the Armenian genocide, of course, and they weren't the only ones that faced genocide, but the Armenians did during the Ottoman Empire. And the bottom line of it is that the Ottomans were defeated by Allenby, a British general, which was in Jerusalem in the Middle East, and they fought him. Well, at any rate, Erdogan is the one that's trying to push this, his version of the Ottoman Empire. And of course, he has come out, and they want to have, I think, a 30 mile or a 70 mile wide extension on their border as a safe zone. Because he considers the Kurds, and which, of course, for him, he's opposed to all of them. And this safe zone, once you look at it, goes all the way from Syria into Iraq. Many people see this as a bid for him to expand the Ottoman to its former boundaries. But the bottom line of it is that all this does, and they had a vote, and this was recognizing the Armenian genocide. And Ilhan Omar, of course, who's a Muslim, absolutely refused to vote for it. She gave some kind of ludicrous explanation for it, but there is no there's no explanation. There's no excuse good enough on anybody's part not to recognize that this genocide took place. And of course, 2014, 2015, when ISIS was in the land in Syria, we were covering this on our websites. And I was doing investigation. I was doing research. We followed the feeds directly concerning all of them. We had a lot of firsthand reports, people that were on the ground. We had connection, we had people that would send stuff, put it up so we could understand what is going on. Now, the thing of it is, though, is that what wasn't mentioned is Ilhan Omar is really connected to Erdogan. He has close ties to her native Somalia, and there was a picture that I saw personally of her with Erdogan. And so, trying to hold this up is a problem. But the U.S. House passed a resolution. This came out of the House, 296. It recognizes the genocide of Armenians, Assyrians, and Greeks. Now, see, that's when it says the genocide of Armenians, it's really the genocide of Armenians, Assyrians, and Greeks by the Ottoman Empire. And of course, we know as we're tracking and watching what's happening in Syria right now, a lot of the people are fleeing. Samaritan's Purse is on the ground over in Iraq where they're fleeing to, and there's other help over there. And so the big problem that a lot of people thought was that a lot of the Christians feared a genocide. And then today, the latest news from some of the feeds coming from over there was that the Christians up there are defending their cities. Now, some of those cities, where they've had churches that date back to the time of Christ. These Christians are going to be, and they're a big establishment. ISIS hit them once before. I don't know how much they have left, but I read the thing of some of them that were fighting, and they said before ISIS came in, this place was like the Garden of Eden. It was beautiful. Everything was fine, and now everything's wrecked, and now Erdogan's coming in. So it is a mess over there.
That's too bad. That's so tragic. I feel for them.
So, in essence, the Turkish genocide, it was during World War I. It killed 750,000 Assyrians, 1 million Greeks and 1.5 million Armenians. That's what Turkey did, the Ottoman. And I have, when ISIS was going through, there were people within Turkey that thought ISIS was the revised caliphate that they had been looking for. But ISIS proved that they would destroy Erdogan and his own Turkey if given the chance. So he didn't brush up to him too close. But, you know, the bottom line of it is a mess over there. And, you know, the thing of it is that within our Congress tower, we've got people that they come over here and they bring a different God. They bring a different everything. And they want to come in and they want to change America to the country they came from.
They want their culture, which I disagree with. If you want your culture, you go back to where you came from. Don't try
that's
to change
right.
America.
But unfortunately, that's what a lot of them try to do. And we have a lot of foreigners now, even in our area. And the only ones that know English in the family are the kids, because they go to English schools in America.
And if you try and talk to the parents, the kids have to translate for you.
Yeah. So, you know, the House of Representatives, and what this thing does is it commemorates the Armenian genocide with official recognition. It rejects efforts to enlist, engage, or otherwise associate the United States government with denial of the Armenian genocide or any other genocide, and encourages education, public understanding of the facts of the Armenian genocide. There's a whole thing of it. I'm not going to read it all to you, but over the years, the United States has gone on record of recognizing and condemning the Armenian genocide. But the thing of it is, you know, it went on from 1915 to 1923. And this was actually, remember me telling you about the Kurdish women who fought? The Kurdish women, you know, they started fighting in order to defend their families and their husbands. And during...
Well, I seen pictures of one woman who was carrying her baby on her back.
Yeah, that was typical. That's the way they
fighting.
Did it. Yeah, they would do that. And these Kurdish women are not to be taken lightly, because they can shoot. And of course, they've had to defend themselves. So that's one of the reasons ISIS lost, because you had people there, you know, you weren't going to rape these women. They were going to shoot you dead.
Yeah.
Or they were going to die in the process. And I supported Rojava, which is the state that they wanted, but I knew there would be no way that they could do it, because I knew from the outset the way Erdogan was acting, and we even brought some of this up, of how biased he was from them. He absolutely hated the Kurds, and he hated the fact that they defeated ISIS at his border. Matter of fact, his tanks and his armies were waiting at the border for the Kurds at Kobani to be destroyed, and it never happened. So
I think he should stay in his own country and leave the Kurds alone. Get out of there. You have no business over there.
Yeah, I think the Kurds deserve their own area. And the name that they use is Rojava. And, you know, I haven't... I had a lot of articles on that, but, you know, we've made some changes on our site. So I don't keep a big archive of only about 4 years back or so, and that's all I do. 4 years, we're ongoing. Everything is new. So at any rate, when we talk about the Armenians and the genocide, we talk about the Ottoman being involved. They're still involved. and that's through Erdogan. Turkey is still involved, and there's still a potential of another genocide. And again, there's another people in the eye sights, and that is the Syrians, the of course, the Assyrians there that you get in next to the border up there. And into Iraq as well, because Erdogan went into Iraq, and then he did leave eventually. But, we have the same problem that we had, we still have that now. So we'll have to see how this works. And there's no way that the NATO or America is going to attack Turkey. We've got nukes at the air base there in Turkey. I think that's where they're at. We're on the air base in Turkey. We have Americans living in Turkey. Turkey is a NATO member. But this is a guy and a country that don't act like a NATO member, because they oppress Christians. They shut down churches. They threw Pastor Brunson in jail for absolutely nothing. So, it's time for NATO to get up off their butt and condemn Turkey and be done with it. But see, the bottom line of it is the EU is absolutely petrified of Erdogan. He's threatened to open the floodgates and send all kinds of refugees up there. And so the EU got together and sent him a big chunk of money if he would keep them. So this is about money. Nobody's going to do anything to Erdogan to stop him. Nobody.
That's too bad.
And I think Putin will only go so far. And as far as it getting involved in Ezekiel 38, while this may look close, but, the Jews themselves have been warning of Ezekiel 38 for several years that I know of it. Jerry Golden on his site and his thing, the Golden Report, he's talked about them talking about it. So there is no doubt. I know absolutely from the news, the stuff that I've seen, that Netanyahu has met personally with Putin on numerous occasions, and they have a good working relationship. So, and this there again, when we talk about the Ezekiel 38, it really depends upon how we define those from that direction, whether it's specifically Russia or some other countries. But nevertheless, it's a mess over there. It's going to be a mess. The Middle East is continuing to be a mess. None of this is going to go away anytime soon. We are in the lawlessness of the last days. So with that, I really hate to see it, Tower, because, as you well know, you and I talked about this, the Kurds over there in Syria took in Christians that were being threatened, and the Yazidis that were being threatened, and other Muslims, and they carved them out a region of peace for all of them. And so this is the tragedy. Erdogan isn't happy with that. And, and there's no way America's going to do anything with Erdogan. Not if the EU or even the UK won't say anything. Nobody will say anything. There's too much money and influence involved in a few thousand lives of Kurds, others. Maybe it doesn't matter to them. But it's not good for America to send in a whole invading force and fight another NATO member, let alone Putin. It's time to come up with a peaceable solution and peaceable solution with Erdogan, and try to corral him a little bit, tell him to pull back his troops a little bit, tell Putin as well, and try to get a reliable place for these people to have a nice little homeland.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's what they need. That's what they deserve. They help fight ISIS.
They do.
But there are also some radicals among them, and they can be dangerous because we got a few of those reports. So make no mistake, this is not easy, an easy solution, but there's no way if the EU or NATO and the NATO nations, if they won't stand up and say anything against Erdogan, and since we have an air base, we have American military over there, we have nukes there, we have Americans in Turkey, you know, America isn't going to fight. They're not going to do anything with them. You know, this is one of those things, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend until that enemy of your enemy who is helping you battle the enemy suddenly finds out that other enemy is kind of a friend. So then he's not going to cooperate very well. And that's
then turns on you.
Yeah. Well, you see, too, I don't think, Trump really knew about a lot of those things, and all we had was about 50 soldiers from what I've understood that are there, and 50 soldiers are not going to do much good when you have the entirety of Erdogan's army, who has one of the largest militaries, strengths in the entire Middle East, and guess what? It's been bolstered by American firepower.
Yeah.
And I think you can trace him getting it back to Obama and other administrations who, of course, it was legal because he was a NATO member.
Yeah.
So there's no easy. Now, I do have some other news on the Turkey caliphate and Erdogan and invading Syria. Now, I don't know if we're going to do them, but we have a bunch of news. I do have that up front. I'll have to look and see about it. Maybe we can kind of look at it. But Tower has a story. Are you ready?
Yes. This is so tragic to me. This is from Barnabas Aid, and they really need help to help these Muslim converts or the Muslims that convert to Christianity. And Eldos is a Christian convert, and he refused to return to Islam, and they threatened him to falsely accuse him and drag him through the law courts to prison. They kicked him repeatedly in the head as he lay helpless on the floor. They fractured his jaw, smashed his teeth, and left him semi-conscious, saying they would come back and kill him if he did not leave the village. And that was in Tajikistan. And then in Uzbekistan, Yumita's husband was so angry when she became a Christian that he slit her throat. And many Muslims that turn to Christ in Central Asia are facing these kind of things, as we've repeated over and over and over again. And they soon learn what it's like to suffer for Christ. And the Muslim background churches are telling us that every believer in their fledgling congregation is facing some form of persecution or pressure. For Eldos and Yumita, it was brutal physical attacks. Others are thrown out of the family home. They're repeatedly arrested and fined by the authorities. And then they face severe poverty because they lose their jobs, or they have to quit because the employer insists that every worker attends Islamic prayer several times a day. Then they can't find another job, as Muslims usually choose to hire fellow Muslims. So eking out even a meager living can be nearly impossible. And then the harsh winters come, and these Christians depend on the income that they get from the seasonal work in the summer, from picking fruit and the tourism. And then winter comes, and it's long stretches when the food prices soar and they need money to buy heating fuel to heat their homes against the cold, deadly cold. And so Barnabas Aid is trying to help these families. One family, Mariana, was in tears when she thanked her pastor for the bag of food a few days ago. Her son's new shoes had been taken from him by Muslim boys at the school. And of course, you know good and well that the teachers won't do anything about it. He deserves to lose his shoes, as they would probably say. He has no business having new shoes. He's a Christian. He doesn't deserve anything. So he's been wearing his slippers to school. Mariana's husband only earns $70 a month, and that's barely enough to feed the family. And so you can donate to Barnabas Aid, and for $32, it'll provide a monthly food parcel for a family. And they're distributed through the local churches, and they contain nutritious staples, including buckwheat, canned beef, vegetable oil, rice, flour, and pasta. So that's one way of helping. So you can go to barnabasaid.org. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters that are persecuted for converting to Christ. Thank God they found the truth.
Well, you know, over the years through ISIS, you know, and the persecution of everybody over there, there's been a lot of people groups. And the one thing that gets me is a lot of these people have to spend a winter with little or no heat, living in tents.
Oh, I know. It's horrible. I can't imagine.
Yeah, very, very tough. Very, very tough. And so we do need to help them. And that's part of our advocacy for the persecuted church, to let you know that there are people out there that are on the ground. We mentioned Samaritan's Purse. We mentioned Barnabas Aid. Now, International Christian Concern was discussing the fact as a result of Turkey's invasion, which they wouldn't consider an invasion, more of defending their borders. Well, see, they do something that a lot of nations do, like China, North Korea, India, Pakistan, and many others, especially those that have a lid on Christianity, who regularly oppresses Christians, because they use this little thing about, you know, threatening the stability of the state or security, and many other phrases. Now, Turkey in their penal code has what is called Article 301. And that is used when they find someone, of course, they want to oppress or accuse of it. If you denigrate the Turkish identity and the Turkish state. Now, see, that's so broad that they can virtually do anything. Now, there was an analyst that was discussing this and was saying that the last wave of 301 prosecutions happened in the early 2000s. Now, of course, he was saying that these things are coming back because of the invasion of northern Syria. Now, this analyst is with the AI monitor, or the AL monitor, rather. He says the most well-known prosecution was against an Armenian journalist called Hrant Dink. And he was prosecuted under that for comments regarding Turkey's role in the 1915 genocide against religious minorities. Now, you see, the thing of it is they can get you for a 301 long time after anything happened. Well, see, even during the fact when we covered what was happening, you know, the Kurds were fighting ISIS at Kobani, and there are a lot of other things going on. The fact of the Armenian genocide among just one of the groups, there was a number of them, that the Ottoman Empire had killed. And the thing of it is, this guy comes out and he could definitely have said something or written something and gets found out. And of course, they prosecute him. Well, the problem of it is somehow he was murdered. And of course, there's nobody says what happened to him. They have the word suspiciously murdered. And so a lot of the Christians over there right now who are facing it are willing to fight and die for what they perceive to be defending their family, defending their homeland. But the thing that alarms me the most is a report written by Raymond Ibrahim, who does a real good job covering a lot of these things. You can find him online, Ibrahim. He's popular. I mean, he's been around for a lot of years. I've known of him for many, many, many years. And the thing that he writes about, there is an episode, a news program. In the English, it means with paper and pen. And it is an Egyptian news program. And they reported, this is what they reported. Leaked information confirms that Turkey is a terrorist state. It supports terrorists, including with weapons. It supports terrorists with weapons. This time, however, not in Syria. Today's leak confirms without a doubt that Erdogan, his state, his government, and his party are transferring weapons from Turkey to, this is a shock to where you may ask, to Nigeria. To whom? To the Boko Haram organization.
Oh,
now, you see,
goodness.
Can you believe that? You know,
that's
Tower and
horrible.
I, we have been reporting on what has been going on in Nigeria for a long, long time. And then, you know, at first it was just Boko Haram. And then all of a sudden, we suddenly found out that the Fulani got involved, and the Fulani alone have killed hundreds of Christian farmers over there in Nigeria. Nigeria, which was once known as a good place and a proper place and a place where people could live pretty well without getting killed for their faith, now is loaded with radicals now who have been coerced by Boko Haram to kill the Christians. And of course, this Egyptian news program talks about Turkey supplying weapons to them. Now, of course, did they really? We don't know. This comes from the Middle East. Yet, though, what do we hear about Iran? Iran supplying Hezbollah, Iran supplying other terrorists. Iran openly threatens Israel. So, you know, all of these players, you know, Erdogan is out to bring in a caliphate and one world order. That's what he's after. Iran is after to bring in the Mahdi and one world order. Both of them are Muslim. Both of them want a world order. So if those two ever get together, the West is going to be screwed, because right now the West has not a clue as to what these people are doing. They work in 1,000 years at a time. If your enemy won't let you do it now, just wait 500 years until he gets weak, and then you take him over. So
yeah,
make no mistake. Mistake. You know, this, you know, going in against the Kurds and the Christians there is just really Erdogan testing the waters. Okay. There's no way that guy's going to allow anybody across his border anyway. But he's already taken care of a lot of refugees. Make no mistake about it. But he's also closed churches down. He's prevented pastors like Pastor Brunson, plus other missionaries that come in there from America, to operate freely in his country. So there is some major problems with Erdogan and Christianity. And Erdogan is changing. There is no doubt about that. So, you know, when you get right down to it, you get to the point, Tower, that you look at this and you say, you know, this is deep. You know, the mud and the deceit. Now, you see, in another one, it comes from the ACLJ, the American Center of Law and Justice. You know, the question that they asked, Tower, was, is Turkey truly a U.S. ally? Well, that's what I would like to know.
Absolutely not. Yeah, I would say absolutely not.
Well, you know, they did allow us to have an air base.
Yeah.
But see, the thing of it is, you know, the thing of it is, though, is as soon as, you know, the ink wasn't even, there was no ink, but Turkey, you know, as soon as they saw Trump pull his small squad out, which, by the way, Turkey had already warned for America to get him out of the way because they weren't going to guarantee their safety.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there's no doubt, you know, CBN has been reporting it. They've had people on the ground. Samaritan's Purse has been reporting it because they're on the ground. That this attack by Erdogan has displaced thousands of Kurds and Christians. Of course, you don't want to stay there. You want to get out of there because he has one of the largest armies in the Middle East. There's no way they're going to be able to do it. But today, the stuff I've seen coming out of there where the Christians and their, of course, they're fighting for where they have lived for thousands of years as Christians. And it would be no different than if America was invaded and they wanted to kick us out of our own country.
That's right.
So I can understand these Christians standing. And so it's... and
well,
of course...
this is concerning to me with Turkey about our military having... military planes and weapons over there, they could turn on easily. Erdogan can turn on the U.S. and keep them and not allow us to get them out.
Well, that has been voiced, you know, in since this thing has happened. People, you know, there are people that are in government that are concerned about that. You know, concerned about the fact that we do have this stuff going on. But see, if Erdogan was to do that, for instance, you would be at a point where NATO would have to make a decision as what to do with him. But the fact remains, I mean, he put an American pastor in prison for crying out loud. He stopped another American missionary from even leaving home. He was over there. I think he was a pastor. And his family left, but he was still there. I don't know if he ever got out or not. And this has been ongoing, and he's slowly changed a lot of things. This coup against him changed him totally, you know, and maybe he was always like that. I don't know. All I know is from the standpoint of 2014, 2015, when we were covering it, I was doing the research. I was covering the news that was coming out of there, which there wasn't much. So we got it from people who had smartphones, you know, had phones, and they were texting. Right. They were sending pictures and videos. And then there was some other news organizations that were of the same, you know, they were Muslim and they were able to get in there. But there wasn't much news going out. And so Erdogan has just changed. And of course, we're living in this, you know. And of course, we reported on what happened to the Yazidis. Now, see, there are Jews living in the area, but I don't know if they just left the Jews alone. We didn't get any reports at the time of Jews being killed and murdered when ISIS was moving. But ISIS, if they would have found them, they would have killed them. So
yes,
I don't know if the Jews were just, you know, in another area or what happened. So at any rate, pay attention to what's happening over there. A lot of this has biblical and prophetic implications. It could very well be because these are the things the Jews have been concerned for a long time. Jerry Golden, again, I say, you know, reported on numerous times and warned everybody, including America, that, you know, the higher ups within Israel are warning that there is another major war coming, and this will be one of the worst ones Israel will ever fight, and there will be a lot of Jews that will get killed. That's what they're warning. So they've talked openly about Ezekiel 38. So make no mistake about it. From the standpoint of the Jews, that threat is right in your face. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that if anybody attacks Israel, Trump will send help. So
I believe so. Yes, he will.
So the bottom line of it is the rest of the world may just say nothing and do nothing, but Trump would definitely do something. So we're done with that. In the Middle East, it's hard to, we don't want to spend the whole time, but we covered it. Meanwhile, we are back a little bit in Syria. Tower is going to be talking about something here. Are you ready?
Well, no. I was going to talk about the Muslim driver.
No, let's, because, I have us doing that together.
Okay.
Well, you were actually John Yoon, not the Muslim driver. Pastor John Yoon is, oh, that's both of us. I must put a misprint on that. So
okay,
so you're
well,
ready
I
to
can...
do, how about the sign from God? We can do that one.
Yeah. This was back in 2016 when an Iranian man, they've changed his name to Bahram. He saw a war movie called Hacksaw Ridge, and it was about Private First Class Desmond Doss. He was the first conscientious objector to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor for his service as an unarmed medic during World War II. And toward the beginning of the movie, there's a framed lithograph of the Lord's Prayer, and it's shown on screen near Doss. Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And before seeing this movie, Bahram had never heard of the Lord's Prayer. According to Lee Grady, a Christian writer and missionary living in Georgia, but that would hardly be the last time he saw the passage. So he was curious about the prayer's meaning. And Bahram, who now lives in Australia, looked it up on the internet. And then a few days later, two loose pages torn from a Bible showed up on Bahram's doorstep, apparently blown there by the wind. And the two pages were from Luke 11, in which the Lord's Prayer appears. And Bahram saw this as a sign from God, and he gave his life to Christ. He says to this day he keeps those pages in his Farsi Bible as a reminder that Jesus came looking for him. I think that's just amazing. That,
you know, that is.
How, yeah. That.
I mean, he's in Australia.
Yeah. But Jesus came looking for him.
Yeah, how often do you find two pages floating around the Australian landscape, just blowing around?
I know. Yeah.
That's like one in an infinite number, one in infancy, or infinity rather, not infancy, infinity.
I like to think that the Lord had an angel deliver them to his doorstep. It's an incredible conversion.
Yeah, I believe that. And that's a good story. You know, I love stories like that. And I think it's so important. And we're going to jump right into Samaritan's Purse. I mentioned that they are on the ground. And, of course, this comes from the Samaritan's Purse website. You can, and because it is getting close to Christmas, they do a lot of things that you can help others across the seas, and you can help those in Syria. Now, they first responded on October 21st. There was 1,300 refugees. They arrived after dark. And suddenly the camp started getting full. And on October 28th, you know, a little before Halloween, they had 12,000 refugees that showed up.
Wow.
And of course, the numbers that have followed since then, there are a lot of stuff going on. And that was just in one thing. And so they are providing water, sanitation, hygiene services. They're putting together, of course, latrines. And so this is the thing of it is that, you know, if something was to happen to America to where we didn't exist, fine organizations like Samaritan's Purse would not be able to be all over the world. They're in America everywhere. They're literally everywhere. And so are some of their offshoot organizations or related organizations. So as Christians, it's our duty to be able to give to help these people who are on the ground over there. So I encourage you to do that. Check them out. Remember also in the process, check out our websites, check out our articles, listen to the shows, pass them on to your friends, because we too need to be able to, number one, support the work that we try to do and we've been doing for over two decades. So be sure to check all these things out. It's important that you pray for them and get their names before God. The Lord knows what's going on, but He wants us to pray for Him. He wants us to be involved and to show our love by helping Him. And so, you know, the other thing I have here, you know, I have after that Cameroon and the Fulani, we spoke about that a little bit. You know, the thing of it is, Tower, when I look at the Fulani, I think of Nigeria, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And these are Muslim herders that have flocks of animals, and they were taking land from the Christians in Nigeria. They had always disputed a long time over things. And then all of a sudden they started getting bloody and killing and taking land. Now all
burning
of a sudden we
found,
yeah, and killing the families. And right now the Fulani are now suspected in killing of a second Bible translator in Cameroon. Now this is a report from the Christian Post, that said that 48-year-old Benjamin Tim was murdered in his home. And of course, if you know anything about translating the Bible,
horrible.
Wycliffe or otherwise, it is really tough work because it takes a long time. It's meticulous in translating the Bible. And, you know, we've had offers to translate some of our tracts and some of the things we've had from India many years ago. And it does take a lot to be able to do this. And, of course, they said that Tim was the father to five children and promoted Bible listening groups in the area. So it would have been easy to have an enemy. And,
oh, yeah.
And, of course, they said, now this is a Cameroon activist. He said that Tim was attacked last night by people suspected to be pro-government Fulani herdsmen. They butchered him and cut his throat. Locals are blaming Fulani radicals for Tim's murder, and they have urged the government agents to attack separatists. They have been urged by government agents to attack separatist supporting farming communities in southern Cameroon. So it's political here, and they got him riled up to attack. So, you know, it just, when you look at this, this is so irritating that the world sits around, especially in America, and we have radical Islam here in America, and Americans act like it'll never come here. And so,
well, it's here, whether they want to face it or not.
It's here already. And if you think they just want to be a nice, kind, obedient little American, civilian, you're nuts. They don't. While there may be a few in there that would, the majority of them are totally separated. There has never been a Muslim society of any stripe that has fully integrated into Western culture. Doesn't happen. It's not there. There's nothing that says it does. They always integrate separately. Even in Europe, they have their own police. And if you're an outsider coming into their area, these Muslim police will come after you if you're not abiding by their rules. Now, this is in Europe, folks. So it's time for you to wake up.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that would happen there.
Yeah, of course, saying that the people that need to be woke up wouldn't be listening anyway. So,
that's true.
They won't. You know, it's hard to get the word out to people, especially as a ministry, because people are like that. You know, on Twitter, they only follow the people they want. You can't tell them nothing. You can't talk to them. Most people want to be pleasantly stupid. They don't want to know. Just leave them alone. And you got activists and people that were decrying the president for coming out of Syria. But all of this, there is no easy answers. There is no easy answer in Syria. There is no easy answer when America themselves had the project for a new American century, which came out. And you can look that up yourself. It's called the PNAC documents. And that documents the fall of a number of Muslim nations and the progression thereof. And so we have seen some of that PNAC documents actually implemented. But the fact of it is, it's been stalled out now. But there are globalists like George Soros, whose one goal is to destroy America to finish the plan of globalism. George Soros is a Jew, and this guy is wicked. He's a snake, and his money buys him plenty of stuff. I've researched him. I've written articles on this, Turkey. But see, George Soros himself, even if you were to get rid of him, he has put all the money, all the organizations together. They're already in place. The ones that does his bidding, that has his vision, they're all in place already. There's no way you can stop it. There's another billionaire out in California. Forgot his name. You know him. Tower, we were talking about him, how he was going to run for president. And
yeah,
this is another guy. He was going to put $80 million, $85 million into this election. And his one goal is get rid of Trump. So we have a globalist agenda that's fighting Trump and fighting the way America was. We've got a globalist agenda when it comes to the Middle East and to what their vision is. But the only vision that's going to be truly implemented will be that the end times, as it's prophesied in Scripture, as given to us. And we know very well where we find them: Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, Revelation. We find it in 2 Thessalonians 2. We find it in 1 and 2 Timothy. We find it in Zechariah. We find it in Daniel. So we find it in a lot of places. And there's a lot of things going on right now. And so when we talk about what we're doing, it's just hard to believe all the things that are happening right now. You know it, Tower?
Yeah, I know. Oh, in that Virginia race where Soros donated a lot of money, it was Soros and Tom Steyer, who is a billionaire from California running for president.
Yeah, Tom Steyer, exactly.
Also Bloomberg. Those three are the ones that put money in to Virginia. $82 million to get it to turn Democratic. That's so wicked.
Big money, and the Scripture does say there, you know, when you talk about the rich men, their castle, you know, their, that thing that they have is not the Lord. It is their money, their riches and power that gives them confidence that they will exist even through the toughest times. But see, your money is not going to save you. And all you have to do is go to James, the fifth chapter, and he warns, your money will burn as fire. They will actually be your grave marker, and they will not save you. And another one that we wanted to talk about, John Yoon, and you know, this is a guy, he credits the Almighty for giving him the ability to lead dozens of refugees out of North Korea. And I didn't put the whole thing, but this story comes from CBN. Go over to CBN and remember John Yoon, Pastor John Yoon. You can put that in, and it's on there.
Y-O-O-N.
Yeah.
Y-O-O-N.
He was 10 years old when he fled with his brothers to South Korea. He was separated from his parents during this chaos, and he never seen him again. He was able to get out, and he spent his life helping others in North Korea and in China and things like that. He helped them to get in there. And this story talks about how the Lord saved him, and how when he was finally warned that he could never come back there, he worked to help others to do what he couldn't do. He had been banned from returning to China, for instance, where he was able to work, because China is right next to North Korea, where a lot of the refugees come in at. He was trying to help in there. But be sure to read that on CBN, Pastor John Yoon. It is another good story. You know, faith and the love of God and the love of one another and working, you know, here it is where it's at. Arguing and division and hatred in America is not the will of God.
Amen. That's right.
And I categorically detest this atmosphere in America. And I detest these wicked stars that present themselves on the media in such a vicious manner and hateful manner towards Trump and anybody that supports him. I detest this action and this wickedness that has seethed America. And America
Amen.
Will not stand with this. And I tell you that if you hear of some of these people that are doing this, that is categorically like a witch or a warlock. They absolutely hate Trump, and they'll do anything. They scream and holler online and social media, calling him names. There's some of these, you need to boycott their movies and stay away from them. You need
That's
to stop
right.
giving these movie stars. They think they can say anything. Now, there are movie stars and there are people that will do the right thing. And you don't hear from them. And the ones you do hear, there are Christians out there. So they're not all like these knuckleheads that we hear from. So with that, we're going to have to say goodbye.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines for The Burden of Moab, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 24. And thank you for joining us tonight. We love you. We pray for you. And may God richly bless you. Good
yep,
night, everybody.
Again, don't forget to go to our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We're on a lot of different social sites. Check us out. This is The Watchman. Until tomorrow, have a good night. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.